John chapter 19. The message today is Christ in all the scriptures. John chapter 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things are now finished, that the scripture might be accomplished, said, I thirst. There was set a vessel full of vinegar, so they put a sponge full of the vinegar upon hyssop, and brought it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head, and gave up the ghost, gave up his spirit. Look at it again, please, verse 28. Jesus, knowing that all things are finished and accomplished. But there was one other thing that had not yet been completed. And he said, I thirst. And when he drank the vinegar, he said, It is finished. Now, Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, verse 13. And behold, two of them were going that very day to a village named Emmaus, which was some 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they communed with each other of all the things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed and questioned together, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What communications are these which you have one with another? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Dost thou alone sojourn in Jerusalem, and not know the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel. Yea, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things came to pass. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, having been early at the tomb. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, who said that he was alive. And certain of them that were with us went to the tomb, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And Jesus said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Behooved it not, ought not the Christ to suffer these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they were going, and he made as though he would go further. And they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to abide with them. And it came to pass, when he had sat down with them to meat, he took the bread, and blessed, and breaking it, gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Was not our heart burning within us while he spake to us in the way, while he opened to us the scriptures? And they turned around and went back to Jerusalem again. And verse 34, they said, The Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared unto Simon. That's what they hear. And then, verse 35, they rehearsed the things that happened in the way, and how he was made known unto them in the breaking of the bread. One other scripture, verse 45. Then opened he their minds, that they might understand the scriptures. That's enough. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all the scriptures. Our God, we remember that before we knew Christ as Savior, we had them in our homes, and we opened them at times and read from them, but they were a mystery to us. We're thankful, our God, that we have these scriptures now, but your Son has done something for us. He has opened our eyes that we might understand the scriptures. We thank you for that, our God. And therefore, we're no wiser than other men apart from the work of thy Son, opening our eyes that we might understand the scriptures. And we pray that what has been done for us who know him as Savior shall be done by thy Spirit in the hearts of all who do not know him here this morning. Open their understanding, Father. We pray that your Son may be revealed to them as the Savior of sinners, that they may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, they may have life in his name. You are able to do this, Father, by the work of thy Spirit, and that is what we pray. So we thank you, our God, for this chance to speak of the things concerning Christ, empowered by thy Spirit, and this day we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There are two kinds of fools in the world. There are fools outside the church, and there are fools inside the church. Because it says in Psalm 14, and elsewhere, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Those are the fools outside the church. And then there are fools inside the church who have heard the scriptures, have been told the scriptures, and yet they have not believed all the scriptures. And the Lord Jesus, and how embarrassing, looks at them and says, O fools, and slow to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And so, today I hope that any who are fools inside the church and outside shall cease to be fools while not I walk with you on the road to Emmaus, but while I walk with you through the Word of God until 12 o'clock. And if in that period of time, mine is ever so brief, because I figured that if they walk about a mile in 25 minutes, a little less than 3 hours it would take them to walk to Emmaus. Because if you are sad, and if you are dejected, and you remember it said that when Christ spoke to them, they stopped. They stood still, looking sad. If there is sadness in your heart, bewilderment, disappointment, shattered hopes, then you will walk slowly. And so what they did for some 7 miles was to walk with the Lord Jesus, and they did not know it was he until they arrived at Emmaus and entered into their home. And I thought of this because I told you 1 week about meditating upon Jesus as you lie upon your bed. But here is meditating upon Jesus as you walk by the way. And God told the Israelites concerning their children to talk of the things of God when they sat down, when they rose up, when they walked by the way. And so some of the best times that you can spend with your brothers and sisters in Christ, if you're walking, are the times that you walk and you talk about the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here is what is so remarkable, that our Savior purposely closed their eyes so that they would not know him. For the simple reason, if he had suddenly appeared to them, they would have known it was he and that he was alive, but their minds would still have been confused. How could this be? We saw this man crucified. How could this be? And so what the Lord Jesus had to do was to prepare them from all the scriptures concerning his entrance into the world, his life, his death, his resurrection, his glory. He had to explain all of those things to them, and then they could understand. And having explained them all to them, then as he broke the bread, he opened their eyes, and he said, "It's Jesus." But you see, the great understanding that they had afterwards, and had they seen Jesus at first, they would have had no explanation. And so at the right time, he opened their eyes, and then they saw Jesus, and they could understand why they had to wait until this time to see him and to understand. And after that, they were no longer fools. They had graduated from the position of being ignorant of the Word of God, as some Christians are, but in this case, not ignorant of the Word of God, but slow to believe all that the prophets had spoken. So again, let me bring to your attention what Christ said in Matthew chapter 22, when the Sadducees came and denied that there was a resurrection. He said, "You do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God." And so there are some who could be called fools because they do not believe in God. They know not the scriptures. That is because of ignorance. But there are some who know the scriptures, and they are slow to believe all the scriptures the prophets have spoken. And that is what is so sad, when Christians who know the Word of God have not analyzed the Word of God and come to an eternal conclusion as to who Jesus is. In Matthew 16, our Savior said, "Whom do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And so he knew who Jesus was. And then with further instructions after the resurrection, they were immovable as to the person of Jesus Christ. How did they learn who Jesus was? They learned from the scriptures. And that's the only way that you will ever get grounding, immovability, upon a foundation that is based on the Word of God. And if you would have listened to Jesus as he spoke to them on the road to Emmaus, then after that time, you would never have doubted again about Christ coming into the world. It says, the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. But without such a tour and without such a course in the interpretation of the Word of God, you would never know. And this is what I do when people come to study with me about the Word of God. I do not tell them what the Scriptures mean. I simply talk to them about the Scriptures and ask about this Scripture and that Scripture, and then they start thinking. And they say, "Why, of course." And I haven't answered their question. I've simply put these scriptures before them, and they have thought on the scriptures that they have known for so long a time. And then their eyes are opened, and they say, "Why, that is the interpretation." Before then, they knew the Word of God, but their hopes were all gone. How could this be? That they who had been told about the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, how is it that they could have hope completely dashed? They said, "We had trusted, we had hoped that this was the one who was going to redeem Israel. You see, the very fact that he had to suffer to redeem Israel was not understood, that that was the only way of redeeming Israel. Without the shedding of blood, there is no redemption. But they did not know that. And so the thing that was essential, the sufferings of Christ, dashed their hopes. But after the Lord Jesus Christ explained it to them, the sufferings of Christ that dashed their hopes now grounded their hopes on an immovable rock. And then they knew that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised the third day according to the Scriptures. Did you notice? Every time, the Scriptures, the Scriptures. And so, if you are ignorant of the Word of God, then you are no different from that fool who says there is no God. And if you are not ignorant of the Word of God, but you are slow to believe all the Word of God, then our Savior again looks upon those that are supposedly his followers, and he says, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that prophets have spoken. So what does it mean? It means that if something is clearly set forth in the Word of God, then you're not able to comprehend it, but you see it, and you say, why, this would take omnipotence to accomplish this thing. That's what the Savior said. You err, not knowing the Scriptures, what they say, nor the power of God, the omnipotence of God, to fulfill those Scriptures. And therefore, without knowing those things, how could they believe in the fulfillment of those things? If you have prior expectations and interpretations of the Word of God, then you will never arrive at the interpretation that Jesus Christ gives as you walk with him on the road to Emmaus. So let me ask you, how long have you walked along that road with Jesus? All along, something's happening on the inside of them. It said, our hearts were burning as he spoke to us along the way. Things are beginning to become clear to them. They are piecing the Scriptures together. And finally, when the Lord Jesus breaks the bread, they said, it's Jesus. It is like our Savior when he was on the shore in John chapter 21, and he's talking to these sailors that are fishing, these fishermen that are in the boat trying to catch fish, and he's talking to them. And finally, he says, cast your net on the other side. And they cast it on that side. And when they catch the fish, John said, it's Jesus. It's the Lord. You see, he's talking to them, but they do not realize it. And suddenly they realize it. And then they are so animated that the other disciples immediately start rowing to the shore. And Peter clothes himself and jumps into the water and swims to the shore. Now, that is the difference between those that know the Scriptures and those that are quick to believe the Scriptures. If you believe the Scriptures, then your heart will burn and your eyes will be open, and those that you speak to will say, Jesus is risen, and they will say, you do not need to tell us. We just talked to him for 7 miles. We know that Jesus is risen. So, if your heart is burning, if you are so excited that you jump into the water and swim to get nearer to the Lord Jesus Christ, it makes no difference. Something has happened. What has happened? Your mind has been opened that you might understand the Scriptures, and when that happens, then you are no longer a fool. You are able to say, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. No longer we trusted, we hoped that it was he who should redeem Israel, but I know whom I believe. And for how long? You trust him for all eternity, because he's able to keep that which you committed unto him against that day. And therefore, if I stand before my Savior at that day, I am unafraid, because my times are in his hand. And as his sheep, it says, I am in his hand, and I am in the Father's hand, and nobody can pluck me out of his hand. But the assurance, the immovableness of the children of God comes from an understanding of the Word of God. And that is what Christ would have you to comprehend. That you can read your Bible, but unless you pray that prayer, open mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, the Word of God. You can read it, and you can be like fools in the church, and you can have depression and heartbreak, and your life is filled with hopelessness. But then, if the Lord Jesus has walked with you, and you've arrived at Emmaus, then all of your tears and depression and sorrow and doubts are gone. Because Jesus, notice, he has not miraculously caused you to believe, but he has one by one by one opened the Word of God, explained to you in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. And so the only way that you will ever have assurance is if you let Jesus explain to you one after another of the Scriptures, and you understand how the Scriptures are concerning him. Now notice, I told you one week, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And today, all Scripture speaks of Christ. Isn't that remarkable? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Then open to their minds that they might understand the Scriptures. And it says, as he walked with them, he began from Moses and all the prophets, and he interpreted unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. So Christ is in all the Scriptures. And that is why when some people come to 1 Chronicles and it goes on for 9 chapters or more, name after name after name, it can be so boring. At the same time, you come to the book of Exodus and you have all of these animals being brought, meal being brought, the rituals, all of these things. You come to those in your Bible and you want to skip over them or read quickly through them. And yet, if the Lord Jesus has explained these things to you on the road to Emmaus, you will dwell on them and your heart will be thrilled because he has been interpreted unto you in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Now notice this, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, and then later on it says the things written concerning me in the law of Moses, the Psalms, and the prophets. So in all the Word of God, you find the Lord Jesus Christ. I saw on the front page of the paper yesterday about an assembly of fools that are giving you all of their wisdom and telling you that everything about Christ is a myth. Isn't that a remarkable thing? The wisest men in the world have come together and they have considered all of these things that you and I are considering week after week, and they look at them, and they, with their brilliant conclusion, say, it's all a myth. They are all lies. Now, what is so remarkable is this. I want to place, beside those who tell you the Word of God is a lie, and that Jesus and the things concerning him, they're all a myth, I want you to listen to Simon Peter, who was with him for 3 years. And this is what Peter says. Listen to all that they say about Jesus. It's a lie. It's deception. It's a myth. Peter said, we did not follow cunningly devised, and the word fables is myths. We did not follow a myth when we made known unto you the coming and power of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses. Now take these fools over here, 2,000 years removed from Jesus Christ and all that he did, and take this simple fisherman who said, I was with him 3 years and I saw it with my own eyes. Whom are you going to believe? And if they ever draw you away, it is because you have listened to men of truth who were eyewitnesses, and you rejected their testimony, and you have listened to the wisdom of fools, and the Bible says the world by its wisdom, not its ignorance, but by its wisdom knew not God. And so I'm going to listen to the testimony of an ignorant and unlearned fisherman named Peter and named John, and I'm going to marvel. Why? Because in Acts chapter 4, when they saw these ignorant and unlearned fishermen, and they heard their boldness and their brilliance in presenting the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, it said they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. That is the difference. If the Spirit of God reveals to you and empowers, then you will listen to those who have seen Jesus, and they tell you the truth, the simple testimony of ignorant and unlearned fishermen against all the brilliance of the scholars in the world today. And I laugh at them. Why? For this reason. It is impossible for the Savior of whom we read in the New Testament to have been made up in the first place. If you have these fishermen, and we are told that they make up all these things about him, I tell you that they are not intellectually capable of giving us the Gospels and the accounts of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It would never enter their minds. They would never be able to think of the Sermon on the Mount, his explanations that he gives in the Gospel of John. It's impossible for that in the first place. But what is so conclusive is this, that the Savior that they say is a myth and is that which is made up by his apostles in the New Testament is made impossible by the fact that the one of whom they speak has been foretold for hundreds and thousands of years in the Old Testament before he came. And therefore, if prophecies have been made of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you cannot change those prophecies. And if someone pretended to be Christ, he would have to be able to come and fulfill all of those prophecies, but he could not do it unless they culminated at the time and at the place that God prophesied of in the Old Testament. And this is what he wants us to understand. I will give you one just right now. That only the Messiah could come at a specific time in the history of the world. In Galatians 4 it says, in the fullness of time God sent forth his Son. But this is what it says in Daniel chapter 9. Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 69 weeks. And I can show you from the calculations that it means that about A.D. 30, the Messiah has to be on the scene. And who was here about A.D. 30 and went to the cross and died for our sins? You say, that one they named Jesus. Well, isn't that remarkable? That they happened to come upon the scene, and these ones that made up these myths happened to be living at exactly the time that Daniel said Messiah the Prince was going to appear upon the scene. Now, I am confounded, not like some. I remember one dear brother at a conference I used to preach with, and his repertory of the scriptures and knowledge was ever so small. And he had spoken once or twice, and then suddenly he was called on to speak again, and he didn't know what to do, and he was trying to pump that one sermon that he had, pump it more and more. I tell you that there's so many things I can show you from the Word of God about the Lord Jesus Christ that I am confounded to know where to start. But I will simply start in the way that Christ explained when he said in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Understand that our Savior is not only talking about the historical prophecies that are contained in the law of Moses, but he is talking about the typical, the figurative, the parabolic presentations of Christ in the writings of Moses. And that is why the scholars go and say, there is no prophecy of Jesus being crucified in the law of Moses, and the law of Moses would be Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And the Lord Jesus has already told them, why, when Moses lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, the Son of Man must be lifted up. Here is the Savior that is lifted up on the cross. And the Bible says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And the Lord Jesus said, Moses lifted up a serpent on a pole. He said, and people that looked at that uplifted serpent, they were healed of that disease of sin the serpent had bitten them. And he said, I'm going to be lifted up on the cross of Calvary. And if you look to me by faith, whosoever believeth in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Then I will cure you from the sin that is in you throughout your body, and your sins shall all be forgiven. And let me tell you, once Christ interprets it, and you see the figurative, the typical content of the Old Testament, as well as the prophetical, literal content, then you start laughing. The Bible speaks about Christ and his bride. And I remember that the first time I spoke to you about God making a woman. And how did this woman come into existence? It said that God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And in that deep sleep, a rib was taken out of his side, and God formed a woman. And then Adam awoke from that sleep, and God said to him, here is your wife. And I know that our blessed Savior slept the sleep of death, and out of that side in which the spear entered, there came forth blood and water. And out of the sleep of Christ, in the coming day, the Father is going to present the bride of Jesus Christ to him and say, this is for you. I presented a bride to Adam, and now I present a bride to you. That is simply one brief reference. Now I will tell you another, and immediately your mind will be opened. In Genesis chapter 22, we have not the Son being lifted up apart from the Father, but what we have is the Father and his only begotten Son going together up the mount, and the Father was offering his only begotten Son. Isn't that a remarkable thing, that Abraham and Isaac, a picture of the Father and of his Son, and the Lord Jesus beginning there would tell them, would interpret the history, would interpret the typical portions of the Old Testament, and their hearts would burn within them because they kept seeing Christ, 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 his sufferings and the glories that should follow. And finally, when they had all those things explained to them, and the Lord Jesus said, here I am, and their eyes were opened, and then they were energized for the rest of their lives because they knew what the Scripture said, and they believed in the power of God. Now, I hope that this hour you have walked with me to Emmaus, and your eyes have been opened. God grant it to be true. Time is gone. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful for your Son, our Savior. We are aware that whatever the wise and prudent ones of the world would tell us, your Son has said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou didst hide these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto babes. Yea, Father, for so it was well-pleasing in thy sight. We as little children, we as babes, have seen in Christ the Son of the living God, have seen in Christ the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world, because we have listened to the Lord Jesus as he's spoken to us on that road to Emmaus, and he has broken the bread before our eyes, and we know who he is, and we know whom we believe, and our Father, we are persuaded he is able to keep that which we committed unto him against that day. What has been true for some of us, may it be true for all who are here. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. Amen.